all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Let me quote the wonderful Dan Schaefer, who tweeted last night for Election Eve, "Don't forget to leave out milk and cookies for the founding fathers." Welcome to the second hour of Up North News. It's Election Day. We made it Tuesday, November 8th, and the polls are now open, and they will be open until 8 o'clock tonight. So on your mark, get set, go. This is it. Get to your local voting booth. Get in there. Cast your vote. Big, big races today. If you could as well, I don't know if this question's on your ballot, but if you could vote for autumn to last a little longer, that would be great, because as you might have heard, there's some big changes in store weather-wise. I was just looking at the Lake Wissota forecast, and it's just, let's see, what are we doing? 50 today, and then in the 60s for a couple of days. Chances of showers, thunderstorms Tuesday, Wednesday into Thursday. And then the bottom drops out late Thursday, and they become chances of snow instead. And we're going to have these south winds gusting around 20 to 30 miles an hour for the next couple of days, along with the rain. So I am really happy that today, for Election Day, we don't have those conditions. And so the weather is not an excuse. So do get out there and vote at some point today. Are you looking to find out if you happened to win nearly $2 billion? I can tell you, you didn't. I can tell you nobody else did. I can tell you that because they delayed the Powerball drawing from last night. The $1.9 billion drawing delayed because one of the participating lotteries, they won't say which one, had issues processing their sales, and the results won't be known until later on today. And when that happens, the winning numbers and the recorded video of the drawing will be posted to the Powerball website and to their YouTube channel. And so all players should hold on to their tickets, because again, we're definitely well above the, you know, the previous, only four previous jackpots have topped $1 billion. None of them close to the nearly $2 billion that's up there right now. Remember, this all started at $20 million back on August 6th. You remember when nobody buys Powerball tickets when it's only $20 million, because, I mean, who needs just $20 million, right? But it feels like almost everybody has spent money on tickets recently, now that they've gone 40 drawings without a jackpot winner for a game that's played in 45 states, Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. We were talking in the first hour of Up North News Radio about absentee voting, making sure that if you still have an absentee ballot, don't mail it. Bring it into your town clerk today, your local elections clerk with ID. And remember that even after the polls close and once all those ballots are turned in, it does take a while to process and count them. Always has, always will. And Wisconsin is one of those states where all the, how many was it? 720,000 absentee ballots that have come in already, none of those envelopes could be opened and the ballots run through machines until right now, 7 o'clock this morning. Other states process them right away so that today's votes can be counted faster. But as a result, all the votes are being counted today, and it will take a while. And what you will see from election results early on, most likely, is because the smaller communities, and many of them are rural communities, and many of them are in Republican-leaning communities, because they're getting counted first, what you frequently see is a large margin for Republican candidates. And then you see it closed as more larger communities that have many more ballots to count finish their count and report it. That's normal. That's what has happened. And unfortunately, even though a lot of us already knew that, Donald Trump knew that a lot of other people didn't know it and took advantage of that to claim, you know, that there was some funny business, when all it is what's now known as a red mirage, where it starts out with a big Republican margin and then, you know, Democrats shrink. It's kind of Well, I was going to say almost nobody here watches cricket. I really got to know the sport living abroad for a couple of years. And it's kind of like baseball, except that one team does all of their at-bats first. Imagine them doing, 27 outs first and then scoring whatever runs they get. And then the home team comes up and does as many at-bats as they can get until they get 27 outs or less if they catch up to the number of runs the visiting team did, to start off the game. That's a very crude description of cricket, but it is entirely applicable to the way that ballots are going to be counted in a lot of communities here. But at least we are doing better than they were in Pennsylvania, where thousands of people had to scramble to cast new ballots because of a Republican lawsuit that led to thousands of faithfully cast absentee ballots being thrown out over the technicality of a date not being written on the envelope. We'll talk more about that coming up after the break, because we could have had something on a smaller scale here with military absentee ballots, but thankfully a Waukesha County judge yesterday ruled against the request to set aside those ballots. Just remember, today is a day for voting for things, voting for candidates, voting for ideas. I hope voting for country over party. I hope voting for democracy over hopelessness, and voting for our kids and grandkids, and voting for the future. We'll have more coverage and hear from Senator Tammy Baldwin coming up. You're up north. Senator Tammy Baldwin joins us now on this Election Day morning. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excited. It's Election Day. We've been working up to this for a long, long time.
We really have. Can I assume you were among the hundreds of thousands of early voters or absentee voters in Wisconsin?
Yes, I early voted on the second day that one could early vote. I was on the University of Wisconsin campus at the time, leading a group of students over to the early voting location on campus, and it was exciting. There were a lot of people taking advantage of that opportunity, and I think once you vote early, you free up time that you're not having to make your plan to vote to help others.
And that's really where I was going to go next. Is today is really make a friend, bring a friend kind of a day. And for those of us who voted early, you really do get to just reach out and make sure everybody gets that opportunity to vote. And I have a feeling, because of the big issue of 2022, I have a feeling that a lot of women who typically vote are going to find a friend who doesn't typically vote, and they're going to make a voting date together.
Yeah, I think you're right. the midterms obviously do not get as much attention as a presidential cycle will get. But this midterm in particular has so much at stake. With the Supreme Court this past summer having overturned Roe versus Wade, in Wisconsin, the meaning of that is that we revert to a law that was passed 1 year after statehood in 1849, which is a criminal abortion ban that would send doctors and nurses to prison. And it obviously has really, really severe health impacts on women in our state who, we're already hearing these stories and they're frightening. So I do think that we are seeing a mobilization. And I do hope that today, on our last opportunity to weigh in the midterms, that people will be thinking deeply about the fact that this is one of the few times in our nation's history where we have seen ourselves move backwards in terms of rights and freedoms rather than forward. And so I know that's been part of my focus. I have a lot of things that I've been urging voters to be thinking about, but one of them is the fact that our motto is forward, and we should not be satisfied in having seen this this huge step backwards.
I've seen nothing to indicate that today wouldn't be like the special congressional elections and the Kansas referendum, in that a whole lot of people who either typically vote Republican, lean Republican, or don't have not voted at all are going to register because we have same day registration in Wisconsin. I haven't seen any indications that that would show that the passionate feelings the Dobbs decision brought up have waned in any way. Have you?
I have not seen anything to suggest that they've waned in my activities, which involve a lot of rallies and, you know, bringing people together for the purpose of getting people out to vote. I will say that I am seeing a waning attention in the media, in the sort of national media, which disappoints me. Because I think it is such an essential issue. And frankly, I don't know that we've done a good enough job of telling the story of what this has meant in women's lives here in the state of Wisconsin or across the country. But it saddens me so much when I hear from somebody who lost due to miscarriage or ectopic pregnancy or something, a wanted child, and then had to wait to present and get any care until they were dying. And literally that's, you know, the only exception for our criminal abortion statute is to save the life of the mother. Not in cases of incest, not in cases of rape, not in cases of negative health impact. And so we're literally telling people, we can't help you until you appear to be about to die. And that's what's happening in the state. I don't want to be, it sounds fanciful when I say that. I have met women already who have had that fate.
It draws us to the contrast in the race that's on the ballot here to see who will serve with you in the U.S. Senate, whether it continues to be Senator Ron Johnson or Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And I dare say, not to be all cliche-like on this, but there's hardly a greater study in contrast on the ballot.
That's for certain. It's hard for me to believe people don't realize that sometimes. But of course, I guess I'm up close all the time to study that. Well, let's start with the issue we were just discussing. The overturning of Roe versus Wade and how we move forward as a nation. I co-sponsor a bill called the Women's Health Protection Act, which would codify Roe versus Wade and would prevent states like Texas with their vigilante law and frankly, states like Wisconsin that have endeavored to pass some pretty draconian laws from doing so if it impacted a woman's health or life or so that measure came two votes short of passing, two votes short. So Wisconsinites, you have a choice. Do you want to send me another United States Senator who will join us in passing the Women's Health Protection Act? Or do you want to keep the current status as the law of the land? Or Ron Johnson is sponsoring for the seventh time a measure that would create a national criminal ban on abortion after 15 weeks. So that's your choice, right, on that issue. But then, in Wisconsin, we've always been about the economy and jobs. We make things in Wisconsin. We also grow things in Wisconsin. And with the infrastructure law, we're building things in Wisconsin. Johnson voted against the infrastructure law. Mandela Barnes is a huge proponent of not only fixing our infrastructure. He was obviously a part of the Evers-Barnes team that's pledged and is fixing the damn roads. But in addition to that, the focus on bringing jobs back to the U.S. that we, through really bad manufacturing and industrial policy over decades, allowed to happen. But now with focusing in on supply chains and the broken supply chains and beginning to fix that, we're bringing those jobs back, and we're at the very beginning of this. And I want a partner in the United States Senate in Mandela Barnes, who is helping us do that, not literally blocking those opportunities to bring our supply chains home.
You know, one of the awful words that's been used in this campaign is the word different against the lieutenant governor. But it reminds me that when you ran the first time in 2012, people said, can this, you know, different person from Madison really represent the state? And now we look at the rural broadband expansion that you've brought across Wisconsin. Recently, $10 million was announced for infrastructure work at the Port of Green Bay. So you've been able to prove your record. And yet when you hear Mandela Barnes described as different in this race, how does that strike you?
Well, look, we have been governed by a United States Senate since 1789, and there have not been many women, there have not been many people of color. I frankly believe, and I always have, that we are better governed when our legislative bodies, including the United States Senate, looks like all of us and has people who have experienced life like the rest of us. You know, there's a lot of my colleagues, both Republican and Democrat, who are multimillionaires and have, you know, some of them born with a silver spoon in their mouths, others, you know, have different paths to have gotten there. And then there are actually probably a minority in the United States Senate who, by grit and hard work and great family values and wonderful parents, you know, walked or have gone up that step ladder step by step, working hard at every stage and get what the rest of us need to, you know, to go through in order to get ahead. That is probably the perfect difference between Mandela Barnes and Ron Johnson, is that, you know, Mandela Barnes, when you hear his family bio, his grandfather fought in World War II, came back to Milwaukee, started working at A.O. Smith in a union job, and made enough to lay a foundation for middle-class life for his kids who, you know, and then that's Mandela Barnes' parents' generation. His mom was a public school teacher. His dad worked third shift at an auto plant as a UAW worker. And they had a middle-class life that provided opportunity for Mandela Barnes. He gets that, and he knows that he has to fight for those, you know, the public schools, for good union-paying jobs, to give every other Wisconsin child, an American child, an opportunity at the American dream. And that's what he's about. And that's what I hope everybody embraces on Election Day.
And that's what we'll continue to watch as people vote throughout the day here. Senator Tammy Baldwin, so nice of you to visit with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, along with everything that we talked about with the senator, it is important to note that there are local races on ballots, such as sheriff's races, for example. But there are also referendum questions in school districts across the state. And there are, at last count, 81 different questions on the ballot from school districts across Wisconsin. 39 of those 81, so about half, are capital referenda, you know, looking to fund construction and maintenance projects. And, you know, that's to be expected. Schools need updating, fixing, repairing, building. But more than half, 42 of them, are operational referendum questions just to fund staffing, utility bills, things like that. And if all 42 of those pass, that's going to mean higher property taxes around Wisconsin to the tune of $360 million just to fund operations at schools, when the state has a surplus of $5 billion that Republican legislators have sat on, something that Governor Tony Evers has put out a plan for. keep that in mind in the voting booth as well. On this very important election day, here's a public service announcement from Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar all about it.
And we're just reminding everyone, you have great ways to vote in Wisconsin, and all you need is your photo ID, and you can same day register. You can also still use your absentee ballot. They've got to be in by 8 p.m. on Election Day. On Election Day, November 8th, polls open 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And you can always try to beat us on how many people vote in your neighboring state of Minnesota. We welcome the challenge, so get out there and vote.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
This might be our first time playing the OJs on Up North News Radio. And as they begin backstabbers, we'll tell you about some scam warnings going on about elections in at least two counties, Marathon County and La Crosse County. Advisories have gone out about fake phone calls from people pretending to be with the Democratic Party and informing them that their poll site is closed tomorrow and that they need to find a new poll site. Similar thing happened. That was Marathon County. In La Crosse County, the county clerk emailed to say that if a voter gets a phone call saying the polls are closed tomorrow, that is not the case. They've also received phone calls about people knocking on doors, telling them that their voting location has moved. I don't know how much lower it gets. And honestly, I don't know what's gotten in the water with the way some people are behaving during this campaign. But if you have any questions or concerns whatsoever, you can call the Wisconsin Elections Commission at 1-866-VOTE-WIS. That's 866-VOTE, V-O-T-E, WIS, W-I-S, and let them know if you see anything funny. Now, if it's elevated from there, if you're at a polling place and it looks like somebody is being belligerent, maybe even threatening violence, don't call the Elections Commission. Call your local police. That's what they're there for. If somebody is making a fuss, making a scene, it is illegal to campaign in a polling place. It is illegal to try to threaten or intimidate. So be mindful. Realize that you don't have to tolerate that. Nobody does. Nobody has to tolerate bad behavior at a polling place. This is where we peacefully cast our ballots and choose our leaders. Sometimes those ballots are cast absentee, and for various reasons that we've reviewed ad nauseum, there are far too many Republicans that are now trying to do what they can to trash absentee balloting, negate it. And in the case of Pennsylvania, as we've learned, Republicans were successful in getting thousands of votes thrown out that have already been cast in this election, which led to thousands of voters having to quickly scramble into action to cast brand new ballots for the mistake of fraud? No. Trying to rig an election? No. Not putting a date on an envelope. This happened because the Pennsylvania Supreme Court invalidated thousands of mail-in ballots in response to a Republican lawsuit. Multiple judges have ruled over the past 2 years that mail ballots returned on time by eligible Pennsylvania voters should be counted even if they lack a date on the outer envelope. So every voter had a reason to believe that, you know, if they forgot to put the date on the envelope, their absentee ballot by mail would still count. Republicans sued in October, less than a month before Election Day, to reverse the policy, arguing that it violated state law. And according to this Washington Post article, last Tuesday, those Republicans won a favorable ruling from the state Supreme Court, which directed counties not to count any mailed-in ballots with missing or inaccurate dates. It triggered a sprawling volunteer-run effort to make sure that voters who had already returned their ballots knew that their votes would not count if they didn't take action. On Saturday, this past Saturday, city officials in Philadelphia published the names of more than 2,000 voters who had returned what were now considered defective ballots and urged them to come to City Hall to cast a new ballot in the little time remaining before Election Day. Community activists and other volunteers began calling, texting, knocking on people's door to get the word out. Yesterday, a line to cast a replacement vote at Philadelphia City Hall snaked outside and into the building's courtyard as volunteers supplied snacks and bottled water for the two-hour wait at times. Now, some voters said that was too much, and it was too much of a hassle. They just weren't going to. Others told reporters they will do whatever it takes to make sure that their ballot is counted and that it not be undone because of funny business by Republicans filing lawsuits.
Honestly, this is just vile. It's evil and there's no reason for it, and it doesn't even make sense. Like, if they got their ballot and turned it in and didn't have a date, it's not possible for them to have had it earlier because it wouldn't have been printed and sent to them. And it's not possible for them to have it later because the office has it on Election Day. So, I mean, of course, logic is not the question here. That's completely out the window. It's just voter suppression, of course, but it's infuriating.
Well, it is. And it is. It's just flat out voter suppression. And it is trying to forward a narrative that there is something wrong or flawed with absentee voting. And I think instead, I do think this one backfired spectacularly. I think that, again, you had independents and Republican-leaning voters, including hardline Republicans, who are among those who voted absentee, who are looking at this and saying, enough already. I mean, you have Republican voters in Kansas who said enough already about the Republican Party trying to regulate their bodies. And now you're going to have people saying enough already about this Republican war on absentee balloting. There's nothing wrong with absentee balloting. There's never been anything untoward found in absentee balloting. There's never been any widespread fraud. We don't have drop boxes in Wisconsin where people could have dropped their absentee ballots because, again, of a Republican lawsuit, which was not based in anything, not based in any fraud whatsoever. It was, like this Pennsylvania case, based on a technicality of what was or wasn't listed in statute. Well, the only way you fix statutes, state laws, is through legislation, through the legislature. Who's controlled the legislature for the past 12 years? Republicans. They could have fixed all of this at any point had they noticed it. And if they didn't notice it until literally days before Election Day, is it really in your best interest to cause chaos? Well, in your mind it is, if you know, this suppresses votes, if it means fewer people vote. Because consistently it's been shown that, you know, the more fair and available that voting is to eligible voters, when more people vote, Democrats tend to win more races than Republicans. When fewer people vote, tends to go the Republican way. You really saw it in the Marquette poll most recently. Well, actually, the last couple of Marquette polls, when you looked at the whole pool of registered voters versus the subset of likely voters, who the people who said, yes, they are absolutely certain they will vote, compared to the registered voters who said, I'm not sure yet if I'm going to vote. When you surveyed that group of people who weren't certain they were going to vote, they preferred the Democratic candidate by sometimes upwards of 20 points in the polls. And yet, amongst the likely voters, sometimes Republicans had a slight edge. Now, there are people who will hear that and say, well, you know, voting is a privilege, and if you're not enthused to vote, you know, if the people who like Democrats aren't enthused to vote, well, then that's on them. And you're partially right, but that does not in any way mean that it is right to try to make it even harder for those folks to vote, to cause chaos that makes them less likely to vote. And yet that is exactly what we're seeing. And it's what we saw with the military ballots case in Waukesha County yesterday, this absentee ballot case in Pennsylvania last week, and all of the other efforts that have been out there to try to suppress the votes. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editorial board, I mentioned in the last hour that they closed out with a quote about how democracy is the only system that persists in asking the powers that be whether they are the powers that ought to be. The editorial began on a very hopeful, optimistic note as well, and I wanted to share that. It says, "Voting is an act of optimism, a way of saying you believe in our democratic republic no matter its flaws. Voting is a way to say shush to those who cry rigged, stolen, and fraud." I really like that line. Voting is a way to say shush to those who cry rigged, stolen, and fraud. Voting is a chance to say to the people who sow doubt about elections, you're not in charge, I am. Voting, in fact, breathes life into our republic. Again, from the Journal Sentinel editorial. And they list out all of the races that need your attention, as they put it. Not just the big races, but Attorney General, Secretary of State. There's a state treasurer's race we've hardly talked about. And, of course, our representatives in Congress and county offices. I can't begin to tell you the importance of the 3rd Congressional District race today, where after 26 years of representation by Ron Kind, there might be a lot of voters who say, well, maybe it's time for a change in parties. But what if that change of parties means that you're going to end up with somebody as embarrassing as Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is focused only on making sure Donald Trump is happy rather than, you know, serving their constituents back home? That's what you want to see. You want to see a turnout of voters that think about how somebody in Congress is going to serve them rather than a party. Mark from Prairie du Sac is with us to talk about that briefly as well. Hello, Mark.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, that, and you're bringing up precisely what I would say, is that unless you can condemn that activity of suppressing the vote, condemn that activity of the fake electors, condemn that activity on January 6th, of which Van Orden was, he was beyond the perimeter where he was supposed to be. He is in violation of the law, in violation of his oath as an officer of the United States. That these people who are trying to suppress the vote and in any form or fashion, they have no business being in public office. I mean, if you've taken an oath to the Constitution, you're in violation of that oath, pure and simple. I mean, that, and people need to wake up and see that, because Ron Johnson has admitted, by his own admission, said he was involved in the fake elector thing. I mean, that, why, like I brought up before, why the reticence of our prosecutors in the state to prosecute those guys? Because when you've admitted you've committed a crime before the public, I mean, that you've already condemned yourself. And I mean, that, and we have to hold these people accountable, because I'm, you know, it disturbs me that people are willing to overlook something as simple as a plain language in our Constitution, and spread, you know, the 14th Amendment in this case, you know, it's Section 3, and ignore that. I mean, that these people were involved in an insurrection and attempting to overthrow a fair election. I mean, that,
yeah, couldn't agree more. And accountability is just the right word for it, Mark. Thank you so much. Wisco Paul wants to talk about reasons to vote as well. So, Paul, we got about a minute. What do you got?
Good morning, Pat. Mostly on the ballot also, and I don't know if everybody realizes it, they should, Social Security and Medicare. Republicans would like to privatize them both. That's very serious. And also democracy. And I don't know how many times that's been said, but this state is gerrymandered, so you have a chance. You have a chance voting for Tony to at least have a check and balance in this state. Otherwise, Lord only knows where we're headed. So, I just want people to realize Social Security, Medicare, a woman's right to choose, and democracy—very important things. And get out and vote. And I hope the people up in North They worry me sometimes because I live in the Dane County area here. So, but and I know they're going to do their part. So, thanks for what you do, Pat. Have a great day.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Appreciate it so much. We're going to hear from Robert in our next segment, and I'm going to tell you about an article you should be looking at over at UpNorthNewsWI.com that Christina Laurie wrote up for us. The headline says it all, but we're going to talk about details anyway. Which party is better at handling the economy? Democrats. And it's not even close. We'll review all the different metrics that show why that is. Coming up in just 2 minutes. You're up north.
What they do? Smiling in your face.
Smiling faces. Smiling faces sometimes.
That's that. Smiling in your face.
I don't mean no down and dirty lies. That's that.
So mentioning the article at UpNorthNewsWI.com, which party manages the economy better? They start with the most obvious. The U.S. has had 17 recessions over the past 100 years. 13 of those 17 recessions began under Republican presidents, including the four largest. If you look at annual GDP growth, again, the fourth biggest years came under Democratic presidents. If you look under job creation, the six presidents with the fastest job growth rates were all Democrats. The deficit has grown since Ronald Reagan under every Republican. It has shrunk under every Democrat. Median household incomes declined under every Republican presidency. They jumped steeply under Clinton, fell during W's first term, rose in his second before falling hard his final year. They fell through Obama's first term, but then household income went up significantly through his second. If you look at the stock market, again, the only measures of decline happen under Republican presidents. And in summary, under President Biden's leadership, Democrats have grown the economy three times faster than when Republicans controlled Congress and the White House. And there's only been 9.5 million jobs created under Joe Biden, five times as many than under the last three Republican presidents combined. So try to keep that in mind, along with whatever other reasons to vote, Robert in West Allis is going to tell us about. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, I think of what Biden's accomplished, right? Dealing with COVID, infrastructure, real infrastructure bill after how many administrations talked about it, you know, dealing with gun control, lower insulin prices. I mean, there's been so much accomplished with a very difficult Congress on the other side of the aisle, them voting pretty much against anything that was to help the average person. You know, we need to make sure that Ron Johnson does not keep the seat. The man's come out and said, I've accomplished nothing in 12 years. He's come out and said, I'm going to cut your Social Security and Medicare. It's like, I don't understand what people don't get. The contrast here is very clear. We can't count on other states like Pennsylvania or Arizona to keep these Senate seats. So we really want to make progress and keep moving the ball down the road and not go backwards, whether it's on women's rights or other things. You know, we need to make sure we win the Senate seat. So please get out, no matter how long it takes, no matter how long you have to wait in line, no matter how much obstruction you face, please get out there and make it happen. We'll be so thankful tomorrow, you know, as the votes are getting counted. So please, everyone, do your part. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it very much. Tom in L.A. joins us bright and early out there. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, good morning, Pat. First off, we the people are the government, ultimately, and today is the day that we show it. We show them exactly our power, and we get out there and we vote. I wanted to bring something to your attention, to your viewers' attentions. It's an app, and it's a website. It's called Swipe Blue, SWIPEBLUE.org. And what Swipe Blue is the first app designed to defeat MAGA Republicans and elect Democrats everywhere. It's easy and fun and powerful, like Tinder for Democratic voting. Best of all, it's free. We match your phone contacts to find all your Democratic friends. Then we help you send a personalized text to encourage them to vote. Studies show that messages from friends are 29 times more effective than strangers. If every Democrat votes, we win. So Democrats, it's called swipeblue.org. You can either find it on your app or you can find it the website just by going to swipeblue.org. So I wanted to throw that out there as everyone gets out to vote. I know I'm getting out to vote here from California for Wisconsin. You know, it's a big, big election. And, you know, don't sit home, get out there, vote, and make your voice heard, because it's the only thing we have right now against powerful dark money groups is our vote. And we need to show everyone in the media that keeps on saying that this election is already gone, how wrong they are. And also, I'd like to say that just because a woman has the right to choose does not mean that she's going to choose to terminate a pregnancy. In fact, most women, if you look at it, most women out there have children. But it's her choice, not government's. Government should not be making this choice. We the people should not be making this choice. It is a woman's right to choose whether she chooses to have a family or not. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you, Tom, very much. Have a great day out there. And I want to thank everybody for giving us calls today, 715-388-7155. And I tell you, Aaron, I'm very encouraged. What we ended up with today was a whole series of public service announcements from Kristen Lierley to Senator Amy Klobuchar to our callers today. Everybody wants to basically do their own PSA to talk about the importance of voting. And I got to say, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, everyone's excited. And I am also very glad to hear that.
So I'm looking at the website that Tom mentioned called Swipe Blue. And I didn't catch it at first. And I realized swipe, like the dating apps, you can swipe left or swipe right. And so this Swipe Blue is what he's talking about, that, again, it goes into your phone contacts and then helps send a personalized text message. So if you're cool with that, that's what it's like. But I had to think for a minute there, because the swiping thing, I don't get that. There was no dating apps for me nearly 40 years ago. You know, the only thing you swiped was you swipe left or right if you were sliding the drink to your left or right, depending on who you were buying a drink for in a bar, because that's about the only way you could meet people to go on dates. So certainly the way that I did on Water Street in Eau Claire, I was trying to watch a baseball game, and this girl just kind of stands between me and the TV. She was the friend of a friend who had just come in. And I just wanted to watch baseball. So I'm like, there was an empty chair next to me. So I was like, you know, would you like to have a seat? And then we started talking. And, you know, here we are about 40 years later with, you know, two kids and four grandkids. I don't know if I would have found her through a dating app, through swiping one way or the other. It's I don't know, Aaron, maybe, yeah. You know, people who've had better luck.
I do know some people who've had better luck. I also know a lot of people who haven't. And I know a lot of people who use it for fun, whatever that means. I mean, they use it for fun to like just look at people's profiles, swipe around. Sometimes they'll make a joke profile for like Kermit the Frog or something.
I don't know. For me, it's not so much about dating. I think we could all use it just to find another friend here and there.
There are apps for that too, actually.
Is there?
Bumble is one that allegedly is used for friendship or dating. I don't know. I've never used it, but.
Well, here's what I mean, especially guys when they get to a certain age, right? You can meet new friends when your kids are young. You're at the same school, you're at the playground, you're at the same activities or whatever. And then later on in life, there's just less that we do around our communities. And so you have less opportunity to get out and actually meet people. So it sounds like an intriguing way just to meet people that way, although I think the rejection rate for mine would absolutely kill me. Hey, don't for a moment take this election day for granted. Get out there and vote. If you have already, or once you do, pester somebody else. Have them be a part of this and make it a really great day. Okay, you can follow me at Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook. All right, go have fun. Work hard, play hard, enjoy the day. We'll see you on the other side.